Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, The Deadly Sin of Anger.
God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you tonight through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Today is Good Friday, and we're going to take a look at the last of the deadly sins. We've done them all, save for the last one, which is anger. Let's talk about the deadly sin of anger tonight. Why did I choose that one for Good Friday? Because I think it's the best choice, most appropriate, because it was in anger that the crowd shouted out against our Savior, crucify him, crucify him. And it was Jesus going to the cross to die for us, to remove us from God's anger towards us over our sins. So I thought the best night to take a look at anger, because anger is all over that day of Christ's crucifixion, both the fire of it and the putting out of it, as we'll see. So let's take a look tonight at anger, our own, God's, and what God has to teach us about it today in His Word. So first of all, anger. What is anger? You all feel anger, right? You know what anger is. I'll just read you Webster's definition. A strong feeling of displeasure and usually of antagonism, which means hostility, opposition, directed against someone or something, right? So anger is always directed at something, isn't it? What can anger be directed at? You can direct anger at a situation or a thing inanimate, right? If you drop a hammer, as I've done, like on my foot in the garage, I might get angry at a thing that didn't even intend anything towards me, it's not even alive. So you can get angry at a thing, like a hammer, but it's usually that we get angry at people, right? At someone or a group of people. We get angry at them, or maybe we can get angry at ourselves. Are you angry at yourself sometimes? And some people can even get angry at God. And so if anger is at a person, now other words for anger would be like rage, ire, fury, indignation, wrath, hot, displeasure. Again, directed at, against someone or something. What happens when you get angry? How do you feel? Well, your face turns red, usually. Swollen neck veins, clenched fists. The person's vision can get blurred. According to one guy, a Harvard University professor who studies this kind of stuff, I don't know if you really have to study this to know, but he says, your breathing deepens, your heart starts beating rapidly, blood pressure rises, the blood shifts from the stomach and intestines to the heart, to the central nervous system, to give power to the muscles. Sugar is freed from the liver. The spleen contracts and adrenaline is secreted, and you're ready to go. To go to do what? Fight and destroy and kill. That's what anger does. It's ready to fight, destroy, and kill. It's a very hot and powerful emotion. So we've always had an animal for each of these seven deadly sins, you know, we've done all those different ones. What should we choose for anger? Well, the traditional one for Christians through the centuries for anger is a bear. The raging bear. And this is right there in Scripture. Proverbs 17 says, let a man meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. I mean, if a bear, you get in between a mother bear, grizzly like this one, and her little babies, all you're going to meet is fury and wrath storming at you with all speed to do what? To destroy you and to kill, in this case, to save her little babies, right? So this would be a good one. If a grizzly is charging you in wrath and anger, there is no bow or arrow. There is no rifle. There is no bear spray. There is no anything that's going to stop its charge. It is coming to kill. And we get angry and we feel that really hot boiling in us of rage. Well, we're the same way. Nothing can stop you. You're coming to kill unless something can put out that fire. So that's a modern example, right? Or an old example. Let's look at a more modern example. I thought it would be another good one. Maybe for Bill and those who like Marvel types of things. I don't know if it's Marvel or the other one, but how about this guy? Who's that?
The Hulk.
The Hulk. Remember that? It's his Dr. Bruce Banner, right? And what does he always say on the old TV shows I used to watch after Cub Scouts on Friday nights at my dad's house? You watch this guy and he'd always say, "Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry." And then he gets angry at some injustice and his eyes bug out. And the metamorphosis happens and his clothes begin to rip off. His muscles grow strong. He turns green and he goes on a rampage and destroys everything in his path. There's just destruction left in his wake. It's the Hulk. Anger would be another. So you'd be a good picture of us when we get angry, when that emotion hotly stirs within. So again, who can we get angry at? You know, things, okay? People, but what kinds of people? You can get angry at bad people, right? Villains, bad guys, scoundrels, evil people, you know, you can get angry at them. But you know what? Sometimes we can get angry at innocent people. Maybe someone cuts us off on the road. They didn't do anything wrong. But you just anger against someone wrongly. It's a wronging. You can get angry at people. You can get angry at groups. You can get angry at yourself. And you know what? Here's the real hard one. Bad, unfortunate one. We can get angry at people we love the most. When we're living in close proximity, we can get angry against them, and even against those we love the most, we can come in that moment of hot passion to destroy, to kill, to murder, in some sense, the relationship, because we perceive that there was an injustice, whether it was a real injustice or just a perceived one, or we just broke their unwritten rules or something, we perceive an injustice. Anger stirs in us and we get strong to rush against and right the wrong and establish what at least we perceive to be justice again, sometimes even destroying those we love. So anger is a deadly sin, but can it be righteous at the same time? Or not at the same time, can there be righteous angers that you have? You know, this is the only one of the deadly sins of all seven that isn't always necessarily a sin. It's not always wrong to be angry, because sometimes it can be right. If you're angry at a true injustice, for example, here's one in the Bible, you have Moses. You know, Moses was up on the mountain 40 days and nights with God and Joshua alone. And he received from God the Ten Commandments. And you could say it was a great time. Oh no, it was the fear of the Lord and all that as well. But I mean, he's with the Lord. He's receiving the glittering, shining Ten Commandments written with the finger of God. It was a great time. He's coming down, okay, in a good mood. But as they come down the mountain, Joshua says to Moses, "I hear the sound of the noise of war in the camp." But Moses said, "No, it's not the sound of the shouting for victory or the cry of defeat, but it's the sound of singing that I hear." And as they came down, he came near the camp, and Moses saw the calf, the golden calf, the idol that Aaron had made for them to worship instead of God. And they were dancing. And we read, Moses' anger burned hot, and he threw the tables out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf, which they'd made, and burnt it with fire, and ground it to powder, and scattered it upon the water, and made the people of Israel drink it. Boy, was he ticked, right? But was that a righteous or an unrighteous thing? It was actually righteous, because it was against their horrific injustice. And God shared Moses' anger, probably far more angry than Moses, because he's the holy God. What did the anger do, though, for Moses in this righteous anger moment? It gave him strength, right? He became, if you will, like the Hulk, but at least under control, but in hot anger to do what? To rage against their sin and reestablish justice before God and to destroy their evil ways. So happily, he didn't kill all the people, but he pulverized that idol to ashes and rubble and then into powder. And he said, "Now drink it." He was so hotly angry at them. And his anger was righteous at that, in that case, at their sin. But notice, what did the anger do for him? It gave him superhuman, supernatural, if you will, strength to go and do what had to be done to establish justice. So if you are a righteous person, actually we have to feel anger sometimes, don't we? Sometimes you need anger. If you see a real evil and a real injustice, you can't just feel nothing. You need anger to give you the passion and strength to get in there and right the wrong. Let me give you a modern example. This is hypothetical, but let's say you're walking down the street of a city at night, and you see an alleyway coming back door out of a bar. A girl, a woman, young woman, comes out, and then two guys, drunk, pursue her. They proposition her. She says, "No." They proposition her again. "No." They say, "Yes, you will." She screams. They grab her and drag her violently in the shadows to molest and do horrible things to her. If you're walking by in the street at this point, there's nobody to help you. There's no police around. There's no one that can help. And you pass by this situation dispassionately, unmoved, not having anger stirring in you, how could you claim to be good, right? I mean, if you see this, this woman's going to be perhaps raped and killed, and you're going to do nothing. You are not a good person. You're an evil person. You're sharing in their wicked and evil deeds. But what should happen? What should you feel if you see such a thing? Anger, stir, rage. Your eyes bug out, your clothes start to tear, strength comes in, and you go into that alley and rescue the fair damsel in distress, beating these other guys to an absolute pulp. And I know every one of you can do it, Vivian included. She's 5 foot, 4 foot whatever, 5 foot whatever, she'd do it too. Anger gives you the strength to do what needs to be done to establish justice. So we need anger sometimes to do the righteous thing. It gives you strength to do the right thing in certain situations to establish justice. And again, as I said, rescue the fair damsel in distress, as in this case, to save her life and win the day for justice. But can anger be wrong as well? Can it be evil? It's the deadly sin, okay? Most of the time we do deal with anger in our hearts, it's evil and it's unrighteous and it just doesn't lead to anything good, only disaster, destruction, and death. Because we read here in James 1, for example, James says, "Let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God." Do you guys get angry at politics? Do you get angry at people around you? Do you get angry at yourself? Do you get angry even at sometimes your loved ones? It's just not going to work the righteousness of God. It's a sin. It's going to destroy. God wants to be slow to it, even not have it rise at all. Control yourself and put out the fire, if you can. Because what does it do? It just kills people. It's going to kill your relationships. You want to get along with each other? You need to be slow to anger and learn to put it away. Because look what happened with Cain, we read a moment ago. You know, he's got his offerings to the Lord. Abel brings his offerings. God had regard for Abel's. Cain's he disregarded because it was not rightly offered. So Cain was very angry. Say the word angry.
Angry.
And his countenance fell. You can see a grim look came upon his face. "Why are you angry?" says God. "Why has your face so changed? Do well and you'll be accepted, but sin is crouching at the door like a lion. It's ready to get you. You must master it." But Cain didn't and said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out into the field, brother." And out there he took a stone and killed him. Anger leads to murder. You murder your brother, your own very flesh and blood. Joseph's brothers got angry at him and they tried to kill him, but then they decided to sell him as a slave to Egypt. Joab in anger, remember, slew Abner for the death of his brother Asahel. Saul at first loved David, but then he got jealous of him and he got angry and he wanted to, for the rest of his life, go and kill David. Anger leads it that way. The Jews rose in anger against Paul and hunted from him from city to city and plotted his death to kill him night and day, to assassinate. And Good Friday, Jesus on the cross, the Jews, the riotous crowd, rose in anger, inspired by Satan, to kill, kill, murder, crucify, crucify him, kill him. They shouted in anger against our King Jesus. And Peter says to the Jews, but you killed the author of life. You asked rather for a murderer to be granted to you. They murdered the author of life. And why did they do it? Rage, anger, and fury, inspired by the evil one. And what does Jesus say about our anger that's in our own hearts daily that we have to wrestle with? Well, you've heard that it was said to the men of old, you shall not kill. Whoever kills shall be liable to the judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to the judgments, and whoever insults his brother shall be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, in the Greek, moron, whoever says that shall be liable to the hell of fire. And so, of this we are all guilty. As charged, we have been angry in these ways. So, we've all fallen short and been subject to anger. We've felt that in our hearts. I hope you feel somewhat guilty over that, because we've all fallen into that at times. What has been God's response to us in our anger? In our evil deeds, he was angry, but righteously, as Jesus, when he went into the temple, remember, he found those desecrating the temple, selling the sheep and the oxen, and the pigeons, and the money changers at their business. And what did Jesus do? He took a whip of cords, and he went and said, take these things away. You shall not make my father's house a house of trade. And he drove them all with a whip out of the temple. Now, do you think he did that meekly and mildly, dispassionately and placidly and gently? Oh, please, please, don't do this. That's not right. Shoo, shoo, take these away. Oh, this is so distressing. No, this is the Lord. Zeal for thy house shall consume me. He went in like a bear robbed of her cubs to destroy their evil deeds and establish justice like the Hulk, but under control, the superhuman, supernatural Son of God. So God got angry at our anger, evil, and wicked deeds. And we need to remember tonight the anger of God. Do you know the anger of God? That he's a furious God at sin? We underestimate him. For the Lord your God is a jealous God, says Moses, a devouring fire. Imagine a volcano erupted. Psalm 75 says, for in the hand of the Lord there is a cup well mixed. He will pour a double draught from it and make all the wicked of the earth drain it down to the dregs. That's the cup of the wrath of the fury of the Almighty against the sin, every last stitch and tiny sin that we've ever committed. He will avenge himself upon, says the scriptures. The Lord, says Nahum, is a jealous God and avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries and keeps wrath for his enemies. He will by no means clear the guilty. His way is in whirlwind and storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the heat of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken asunder by him. The Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. Watch this. But with an overflowing flood, he will make a full end of his adversaries, and he will pursue his enemies into darkness. Woo! Right? Come on, guys. Let's remember the wrath of the Lord. We don't believe that in modern times. We should. It's the truth. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. Behold, the Lord God is coming out of his place, says Isaiah. Like a bear, right? To punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, the earth will disclose the bloodshed upon her and will no more cover her slain. And one more, Zephaniah, on the day of the wrath of the Lord, in the fire of his jealous wrath, all the earth shall be consumed for a full, yea, sudden end. He will make of all the inhabitants of the earth. Do you know it? The day of the Lord is coming, friends, when God will judge the earth. And what a fierce day it shall be of darkness. A bear robbed of her cubs. God comes to establish justice, and he will slay many on that day. Let's mark that well. The anger of the Lord, the righteous anger. All right. So, what did Jesus do for us about God's anger? That's what we're celebrating tonight, right? And what did God do for us about his own anger? Because he doesn't want to destroy you. You know, God's heart. Yeah, he'll establish justice. He does have righteous anger. But his delight is always rather to save, to rescue, to show mercy, and to bring you to life and not to death. He's a good God, I tell you. A good God. The Lord is slow to anger. He's abounding in steadfast love. He won't clear the guilty, but he forgives the iniquity of thousands. Any who look to him, he chooses rather love and mercy and wants to put away his wrath and anger towards us. And how has he done it tonight, friends? By sending Jesus, Yeshua, our Savior, to take away God's wrath for us. Isn't this amazing? I get to preach this. That God is angry and wrathful against sin, and yet he loves you and wants to put away his anger and wrath through this Savior. How did he do it? Well, here comes God's wrath ready to pour down like a bullet, a speeding bullet to shoot us dead for our evil deeds. And what does Jesus do? Wait, Father, I'll jump in the way. Oh, hits and takes the bullet in our place, in the gap. On the cross, God's wrath poured out against our sin, which was placed upon him that he might die for our sin and we be set free, that God's wrath and anger now is justly satisfied, paid for there, and now free forgiveness and salvation is offered to all in Jesus' name, faith needing to receive it. And that's what I'm preaching to you tonight, today, friends. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish in the wrath of God at the last day, but have eternal life. God sent the Son into the world, friends, not to condemn you, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. That's what God's heart is, to save you, and that's what he wants for everyone. And the Bible says, he who believes in Jesus is not condemned. And that again is because he took the full brunt of God's wrath and overflowing anger against us, but he did it on the cross in our place to pay for our sins that we might be set free. So check this out. He saved us from sin on the cross, from death on the cross, from the devil on the cross, and from God himself. God saved us from himself through Jesus. Jesus saved us from God the Father through his sacrifice, that the wrath of God might not touch you, but you be set free from it. The wrath is paid for, free salvation given. God comes to rescue you, friends, and give you life because he loves you. Yes, all we like sheep have gone astray. He turned everyone to his own way, and God laid on Christ the sins of us all. And then it says in Isaiah 54, in overflowing wrath, says God, for a moment I hid my face from you, but with everlasting love I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. And Paul says, now we wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So, how should we then be towards one another if God's been this way towards us? Well, let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man doesn't work the righteousness of God. It's not working out well for you if you're angry. It's not doing any good. Get rid of it, God says. Unless there's a dark alley and a damsel in distress needs a rescue, then be angry, God says. But otherwise, put it away. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander put away from you with all malice, and instead rather be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Anger is a hot fire, isn't it? What is the water that puts it out? Forgive, as God forgave you. If you forgive and pray for those you're angry at, the fire's going to go away. You're going to put it out as God put out and doused his fires through his forgiveness to you and me on the cross for our salvation. And I want you to know, if you're in Christ tonight, and I know you are, there is no condemnation left for you in Christ Jesus. For Romans 5 says, therefore, since we're justified by faith in Jesus, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Reconciliation, friendship, and love is what it's all about with you and God now. And God foretold this, and we'll close with this word from Isaiah 12. He says, I'm going to save you one day from my anger through Jesus, and this is what you're going to say. This is from Isaiah. You will say in that day, says God, you will say, I will give thanks to you, O God, for you were angry with me, but your anger turned away, and you did comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I'll trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called The Deadly Sin of Anger, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lucier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the old recreation center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at christlutheranchurch.capecanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.